Today's shiur in Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. And we begin with the start of Simen Mem on the very bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis. This very important simen deals with the halachos of Eich Linhog B'Kedushas HaTfilin. What is the proper respect that we must give towards the tefillin? And this will be clear as we go forward in this simen what we're talking about. And the Mechaber starts off and he says, Osu Litlos Tfilin Bein Bibatim Bein Horutsuos. You're not allowed to hang the tefillin, whether you're holding them from the bottom and letting the ritzuos hang down, or you're holding them from the ritzuos and letting the bottom hang down. Avamutu litloso and bekisun. But you are allowed to hang them up if they're inside their container, inside the tefillin zekel, and then you would be allowed to hang it up on something, on a hook or something like that. The Mishneh Berurah in Sivkot Aleph explains, when we say you're not allowed to hang it up, he's not talking about holding it in your hands, he's talking about al hayoseid, hanging it from some sort of a hook in the wall or a projection of some sort, because that's very inappropriate. It's a zilzul, a bizoyin, an embarrassment for the tefillin to be hanging out there all by themselves, wrapped around some sort of a nail. Dirshu footnote 1 points out that one has to be careful when one has a Megillas Esther and it's rolling and it's hanging down off the side of the table. It brings down the name of the Prima Godim, Nechshav HaDover Kikinai, Lekisvei HaKodesh. That's improper as well. You shouldn't let the Megillah hang off on the side of the table. In Sivkot and Beis, the Mishneh Berurah adds, when we said that you're not allowed to hang the batim and let the ritzuos hang down, or hang the ritzuos and let the batim hang down, shabatim tluyos tamata, ubein sheritzuos tluyos tamata. Both are no good. It doesn't make a difference which one is the one that's being hung and the rest is hanging down. However, he says, when you're putting on your tefillin, if it's just for a moment, when you're taking your tefillin out of the zekel and you're putting them on, so you're holding the shel rosh in your hand and the back of the knot with your other hand, so the ritzuos are going to be hanging down. So that's not a problem. But if the tefillin themselves are hanging, that's inappropriate also to hang them up against a wall. And again, he points out this isn't when you're putting them on. That's not a problem when you're putting on the tefillin if part of them are hanging down. Some are very careful and they have the shirosh on some sort of a platform of some sort, so there really is very limited hanging down. Again, one should do this in as b'chavadik way as possible, as fast as possible, but certainly if it's impossible to put them on without some of the tefillin, the ritzuos, hanging down, you don't have a problem. Some poskim suggest that when you're putting on the shirosh, that you hold the knot in one of your hands, the kesher in the back, the dalid with one of your hands, and the bias itself with the other hand. And this way, that's the least objectionable way to put on your tefillin. In Sivkot and Gimel, the Mishneh Berurah writes that you are allowed to hang up the tefillin if they're in their bag. He points out the Sefer Torah also litloso b'chol gabne. However, a Sefer Torah is never allowed to be hung up, even if it's in a container. And he says, afilu shehi b'aron hakodesh, v'tola aron hakodesh. To have it, Sefer Torah, inside an aron kodesh, and the aron kodesh is not firmly on the ground, but is attached to a wall in a hanging sort of a way, that's not right either. And he says, look in the Chayodam, Klal Amud Aleph, who writes, afilu kisha aron hakodesh mechubur b'yesedos lakosel osur. Even if the aron kodesh is firmly nailed into the wall, and it's not coming off the wall, but it's not on the ground, it's hung into the wall, it's wrong to put a Sefer Torah in that aron kodesh. Kol she'ein tachtov omed devar ma, if there's nothing underneath it. Usvarim, what about putting in svarim? Kigon sifrei talmud, uchedome, dome letfilin. And whether you can put in any sort of svarim, like a gemara or any other svarim, hanging, so the same dinim applies with tefillin. If they're in some sort of a container, a person has his knapsack, and he hangs his knapsack on the wall, and there's some svarim inside, that would be acceptable. He says then that if you have just the sefer itself and it's attached to some sort of a board which is held by a string, you see this sometimes in a library where a reference book will be attached to a cord of some sort and the cover is made out of some sort of a hard material so it doesn't get banged around too much and destroyed, but it's physically attached via a string, a cord. That's called hanging, and that also is not allowed. We don't consider this cover to be like a knapsack, but the cover is not considered a kisui in this regard, and this is improper if you're dealing with a sefer. Shaluchos ein domos lekis, that this board that the string is attached to and that the sefer is attached to, it's not called the cover. Because it's really the cover of the siddur, and a cover of the siddur itself is not considered a kiss. In the issue footnote number 3, he brings down that the Mishnah Berurah had brought down the Chayei Adam, who said that if there's nothing underneath the Aron Kodesh, kol shein tachtov omei dovar ma, so then the Aron Kodesh is not allowed to be hanging. In footnote number 3, he points out, the Dershuf footnote points out, Eino nimtzeis b'chayodim. This that the Mishnah Berurah quotes is not really found in the Chayodim. And in fact, if you look in the Nishmas Adam, which is also written by the same author as the Chayodim, Kosav shim kova daf umeiniach olav. Es Aron HaKodesh, nechshav ha'aron kemunach velo ketolui. Seems to suggest that if there is a board that comes out of the wall and the Aron Kodesh is on that board, that is considered acceptable. And he says, suggesting here that maybe the Mishnah Berurah is just arguing on that Chayei Adam. The Mishnah Berurah then continues and writes, Mutter lichtov psukim b'niyor, v'litlosum b'pesach pesach knesses. Since we just talked about you're not allowed to hang tefillin, you're not allowed to hang a sefer Torah, what about hanging up signs that have psukim on them? So the Mishnah Berurah says that that is permissible, because these words are there to inspire and to awaken people to the message that's written on these psukim or from the psukim, and therefore it is permissible to hang this up in a Beis HaKnesses. In Dirush footnote 7, he brings down the reason for this is based upon a Maksis HaShekel brought down in the name of the Ma'arit, Shekevon Shenichtavu Litzorech Tliosim Beis HaKnesses La'orir Esa'om Lachzor B'tshuva, since the purpose, as I already pointed out, was to go and inspire the people and to make them do tshuva, in Lesor B'kach Bishum Bizoyon. That's not called the Bizoyon of these psukim that you're putting up. And also, Ein Zedoma L'Tvilin. This is not the similar thing where you're not supposed to hang tefillin up, because the tefillin aren't supposed to be hung up. They're supposed to be worn by a person. And that's a bizoyan for the tefillin. However, these psukim over here, they're written for this expressed purpose, so that's why it's allowed. And then he also points out that if you're putting the psukim on something like a dalas, or a gourd, or a watermelon, like people do sometimes for sukkahs, and they engrave psukim in these things, so that's not considered proper, because that will become a bizoyan when this fruit or the vegetable spoils. The Mishnah Berurah then tells us another important din. Noagin ha'olam lis'anos kishinofel tefillin miyod al oretz. The velt, the world, goes and fasts when their tefillin fall onto the ground. That's the minuk, when they fall below nartikim, when the tefillin themselves fall, not in their kiss, not in the tefillin zekel. V'huadin kishinofel sefer Torah afilu b'nartikon. And the same is true for the sefer Torah that falls, even if it is in its mantle, even if it's fully clothed, so to say. The velt fast, people fast when they see this. He tells you, look in the El Yeraba, who writes, Shekos of Dafilo Tfilin Ben Artikon, Yitin Prutal Itzdaka. And if your tefillin zekel falls, even though the tefillin are not exposed directly to the ground, they're still inside the sack, the bundle, nevertheless, it's appropriate to give some tzdaka as a kapara for this. In the issue footnote number 8, he writes, Vimhu Zokin or Cholosh, that the person who dropped his tefillin or sees the Sefer Torah fallen down. If this person is a sick or an elderly person, the Kafa Chaim writes, bringing down the Shelos Chuz Chaim Sha'al, Sheyocho Liftos as a Tainitz B'Tzdaka. This person can also just repay the Tainitz that he should be fasting by giving Tzdaka. And the similar psak was given by Rav Yashiv Zatzal, for especially a person who's in a learning Torah situation where the fasting would be mafri him, he should also be poda the Tainitz with Tzdaka. Especially if it's younger children who see this and they can't fast easily. So the Marie Bruno also says they should learn extra 2-3 hours that day, and that would be fine as well. In the issue footnote 10, he brings down the interesting scenario. What happens if a person who's wearing tefillin falls down while he's wearing the tefillin? So he brings down from the Shelos HaTshuvos Rav Yosef Rayim, Shekeshem Shelagabe Odom Shenofal V'Sefer Torah B'yodo. If a person falls while he's holding the Sefer Torah, and he's still clutching the Sefer Torah as he falls down, and as he's on the floor, he's still holding the Sefer Torah, so the Shelos HaTshuvos Har Tzvi says, Ein Tzorich Lisanos. That's not a reason to fast in that situation. So too, he says, if the person falls with his tefillin on, and the tefillin stayed on him, didn't fall off, also he doesn't have to fast. What about a sofer who's working on writing tefillin and one of them falls on the ground? So he brings down from a Vosner, Zatzal, the Shevet HaLevi, Shalohi Chmiru Olav Lisanos, Ela Dai Sheitin Pidjon Akach. He should give some money to Tzedakah, but he doesn't have to fast. In Dirush footnote 11, he brings down that if somebody has this occurred to him, that his tefillin fell, even if they're inside the Zekel, so then it's a sign from Shemayim that they're unhappy with him and he should do tshuva. He brings down as well the Tzitz Eliezer. She'ein tainizu noheges elabimi shenoflu atfilim yadav. Then when people have to fast, it's only if your tefillin fell down. But if you see somebody else's tefillin fall, you don't have to fast. That's not a sign from Shemayim that they're upset with you. As opposed to with the Sefer Torah, the minhag is that all the people who see the Sefer Torah falling should fast. Tzif Beis, the Mechaber writes, Bayis sheyesh bo tefillin, osu l'shamish bo mitoso, ashi yotziim o shianichim b'chli toch kli. House that has tefillin inside of it, a man's not allowed to have relations with his wife in that same room, unless he takes the tefillin out of that room, or he puts it in a kli b'toch kli, a covering within a covering. And the Mechaber says that the second covering can't be specifically for the tefillin. It has to be something that's not specifically for the tefillin, because if it's a cover specifically made for the tefillin, even if you have 100 such covers, let's say you have a tefillin bag, you put inside another tefillin bag, inside another tefillin bag, that counts as one cover. The Rambam adds, Hagah, v'im shneim einon miyuchadim lehem, if either the inside or the outside one is not specifically for the tefillin, that's fine as well. Oshapnimi einon miyuchad lehem, v'chitzim miyuchad lehem, mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah is explaining that the Rambam isn't adding anything to the Shulchan Aruch, he's just clarifying for those that might not have been certain what the Shulchan Aruch was saying, that you need to have this double kisoy, a kis betoch kis, a kli betoch kli, to cover up the mezuzah, if you want to have either relations with a spouse in that situation, or to go to the bathroom in that situation. If the tefillin are in that same room, it's a problem unless the tefillin are covered kli b'toch kli. These halachas are very important, especially if a person has to take a bag with him into the bathroom when he's traveling someplace in an airport, or if the person's in a single hotel room with his wife and they're using that room for their bedroom as well as for putting all of their stuff, any svarim they may have, any tefillin, tzitzis, talis, etc. So these halachas are very important, that you must have a kli b'toch kli in order to use these rooms for hashmish hamita, or if you're using them as a bathroom. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Dalet writes, Behu adin chumashim o sidurei tefilos o shar svarim. This is true not only for tefillin, but this is true for any printed materials, bein b'chsiva o b'defus, whether they're handwritten or they're published today, like our svarim are. Hakol yesh b'em kedusha o b'inan kli b'toch kli. All of them have a certain level of kedusha to them, some more than others, but that's not relevant for our discussion right now. They all need to be a kli b'toch kli. Ba'afilu imhem kisav mishita. What's mishita? What is a kisav mishita? Hainu she'enu kisiva stam v'urak kisav v'shuri. This would be printed Hebrew lettering, as opposed to the fancy calligraphied tam type of lettering that we've been discussing in great detail over the previous weeks. Mishnah Berurah points out that the cover of the sefer is not called the valid kisui. Ukrichas ha-sefer eno nechsheves le-kisui dumi guf ha-sefer. That's part of the sefer itself. So the cover of a book is not called a kisui. Uboinan od shnei kisuyim. And you need to cover that up and then cover that up. Double kisui. He brings down Yoredeya as well, that it's pointed out there, kol ha-meikal b'kedusha svarim ha-nitfasim. If somebody is careless and not careful with the kedusha of these printed svarim, osid litinas adin, he'll eventually have to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tfus have a kamo kesiva. In this regard, published, printed, computer works are considered the same as kesiva. He brings down as well from the Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer that there are those that are makel somewhat with this, b'shasat chak, kishen lu b'melechasos, and one can possibly rely upon that in the shasat chak. And in the Dirshu footnotes, he brings down great detail as well, discussing what is the status today of some of the published material that we have that is made totally electronically and with just the press of a button. That's the only human involvement in the actual printing. So we still treat them with kedusha, but there may be some room to be makel under extenuating circumstances, according to some poskim. But hey, the Mishnah Berurah writes, O lasso tzrocha, that it's not only talking about tasha shamita, but as I pointed out already, it's even used talking about going to the bathroom. In Sivkot and Vav, he writes, Achi yotziim, you have to remove the tefillin from the room if you want to use it for those purposes and bring it to a cheder acher, into another room. Or you have another alternative, Osha masik b'neim mechitza gavo asar tvachim. You can put up some sort of a mechitza that is a 10 tefach high separation, a barrier between the room that you're in now and the room where the tefillin are in, even though it's technically the same room, but there's a mechitza in between them. And he says, look in Simen Reish Mem for these halachos in much greater detail. In Sivkot and Zayin, he says, what is the definition of b'chli toch kli? Lab davke kelim. It doesn't have to be an actual keli, an actual vessel of some sort. Du ha-din shnei kisui. It could be any sort of covering, two covers. And in Dirshu footnote 17, he brings down that on Shabbos, this is not called making a mechitza and would not be a problem of any sort. Likewise, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Peras, Talis, Oshar, Kisui, Alakish, Tefillin, if you put a cloth of some sort, a talis or any sort of a covering over the Tefillin, that would also work. Even though it's not underneath it, it's just on the top and on the sides, Afilu Achishari, that's perfectly good. He tells you to look in the Bir Halacha, and as well, I would say, look in the various Dirshu footnotes here that are giving much greater detail. In Dirshu footnote 18, he brings down a homachlokis as to whether if you fold over a cover or some sort of a sheet, that count as a double kisui, as a single kisui, there's a machlokis on this. Many more details, ayin sham. Mishnah Berurah then says, those that put their talis and their tefillin together into one big bag, this is not called a double kisui. This is specifically made for the tefillin, so therefore that's not called a separate kisui than the tefillin zekel. Unless you have the talis covering up the tefillin inside, and then the talis functions as one, and then the kiss is the other one, and that would be perfectly good. That talis ain't no kilyum, because the talis certainly isn't part of the covering of the tefillin. And similarly, likewise, if you have some sort of a covering, the second side of that larger covering is not called the covering of the tefillin, and that would also work if you flip it around, that would be good. He says, look in the Be'er Halacha for many more details. They brought down the name of the El Yeraba, and then he tells us, the Magen Avraham says, that these dinim apply to a mezuzah as well. The Hakavua Lefnim Bacheder, and you have this in your bedroom, so that mezuzah also cannot be visible. Tzarech, Kli b'sol kli, you have to have a covering within a covering. The Hainu Sheikhasa also b'shnei kisuyin, you have to have the two kisuyas that we talked about for the tefillin. The Echem Ehem Yeh al Koponim Enum Yuchadla, and one of them has to be not designated specifically for the mezuzah. It can't be the mezuzah cover. It has to be something that's not the mezuzah. However, he brings down a kula here from the Chayyadim, who says that if you specifically designed it that way, so you have a kiss around the mezuzah, and then you have the mezuzah cover, that would be acceptable if you did this with intention at the beginning. Not everybody agrees with this. The Mishnah Berurah also points out that if the mezuzah is made out of glass, so if the mezuzah inside can be seen, it's still considered one kisui, but you need another kisui, and when you cover that up, that would be acceptable, that it's no longer visible, even though one of the kisuyim is see-through. However, everybody agrees that if both of them are see-through, that would not be good, because you can see the cloth inside. He points out many of these additional dinim are also going to be discussed in Siman Reish Mem, and we'll have to wait, Ezra Hashem, until we get there. The footnotes also point out that it's very reasonable, therefore, to use a non-clear glass or some sort of a dark, opaque covering for the mezuzah coverings of a bedroom or a child's room where they may be diapers changed and things like that. Finally, Sivkot and Ches, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that I mentioned before, that the Ramah over here is not adding anything to the Mechaber, he's just explaining the Mechaber clearly so one shouldn't make a mistake. Lo barak lefarish divrei Mechaber velo nita b'lishnei. And his final point is, if you have a single kli, even if it's not specifically made for the tefillin, so it's not miyuchad, it's not a kilyon for the tefillin, that's no good, you need a kli, b'soch kli. That concludes today's shiur.